Ladies and gentlemen, friends and open-minded people, wherever you live, across the United States of America and across the world, this is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. And I don't say this every day, but maybe I should, because it's really important to understand what I mean by in human rights. This is Human Rights Radio. I believe in human rights, and that's not a performance. It's not an act. It's not a way to convince people of anything. I truly believe in the right of all people to basic what we call human rights. The right of the individual to free speech and free thought and free opinion. I don't believe there's more important right in the world than free speech. And some people could say, and I could say, that it's actually trumped, if that's the word for it these days. Trump is unfortunately responsible for a lot of deaths, unnecessary deaths right now. But it's trumped by, of course, life. But without free speech, all life, all freedom, all human rights are endangered. Because without freedom of speech, we have a situation where people can get away with genocide. And that's what we have right now going on in the world. We have a genocide going on in Gaza. We have a genocide, yes, it's a genocide going on in Ukraine. We have had massive genocides in the last 120 years, the bulk of which is described by a famous Jewish writer by the name of Les Seskin as the Jewish century. For some reasons, we've had the biggest wars in the history of humanity with the rise of Jewish power in the world. Is there a connection? Is that just, you know, we can always say association is not necessarily causation. We use that scientifically a lot, you know, in diseases or medicines or just analysis of history. But is there some causation in the rise of Jewish power and these international wars? See, folks, we're coming on this program and we're telling you some very shocking things. And we're telling you that the First World War, and even more so the Second World War, and the wars since, were genocidal wars. And we're also telling you that the three greatest mass murderous realities in the last 125 years in this world had a great deal of Jewish involvement, and I think couldn't have happened without Jewish involvement. I see the First World War, which was the stage being set for the Second, was motivated by a lot of powerful Jews, including the Rothschilds. It's not a myth and it's not a conspiracy theory to talk about the Rothschild banking houses and how much power they had. They absolutely stole half the wealth of Great Britain back in the Napoleonic Wars and the Battle of Wellington, when they put out the false information because they knew that Napoleon had lost, not won, but they put out that he won. The stock market collapsed, pennies on the pound, and they bought it up with their international money and gold. But when the people found out that actually, France and Napoleon had lost, not won. The stock market rebounded, but they owned half the damn stock exchange from Great Britain. It was one of the biggest threats in the history of the world, and that's bragged about in Jewish written histories of the Rothschilds. That's a lot of power, folks. And the Rothschilds pop up again in history in the First World War when they absolutely supported, in many ways, subtle and overt, the destruction of what was Tsarist Russia, Christian Russia is the better way to put it. The chief stock exchange, or the chief financiers of America, the top guy, was Jacob Schiff. And there were others. There were many others. Bernard Baruch was a big one. The people who founded the Federal Reserve, is a great book by the gentleman that wrote the, I guess, what's it called? Dr. Slattery is with me. So what's the name of that book again? The Monster of Jekyll Island, or what is it? Dr. Slattery. Griffin.
So there's a book called The Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullins. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to.
No, I'm referring to Griffin's book. The one that started all this material, it's called Monster of Jekyll Island or something of that effect. I can't remember the title. I remember the book well. Mm-hmm. But it's written by Griffith, and he's famous. In fact, it was a big program of the day talking much about the book. And he talked about this secret meeting, and this has all been documented and proven since this time, numerous times, way back before the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank. And it was the five biggest, most important bankers in the United States. J.P. Morgan was in it. But also, there were, out of five people.
Speaking of the creature from Jekyll Island.
The creature, that's it. Excuse me.
The creature.
The creature. And boy, it was a creature. But this was the creation of the Federal Reserve, you know, corporation. And it was this production where we had controlled money and, I believe, legalized robbery by the big banks, where they could create money out of nothing. They, even though ostensibly they were the people who were printing American money of the American government or establishing the currency of the American government, they could give it to whatever bank they wanted. Ultimately, this is what this evolved to. But anyway, of the six or the five top bankers, J.P. Morgan was a Gentile. But the three, there were three out of five. That's last I note in terms of my mathematics. That 60% of those bankers were Warburg. Jacob Schiff, you know, and a Rothschild banker. I mean, it's just crazy to think about that. And the interesting thing was when I did a debate with Alex Jones about the Federal Reserve, and I pointed out that over since the Second World War, that most of the Federal Reserve heads were Jews, and some of them weren't, but all of them were kind of in line with them. Many of them were people that were involved in Lehman Brothers or Goldman Sachs or all these other banks. Today, the biggest banking, most powerful and corrupt banking house is Goldman Sachs. And of course, you do have J.P. Morgan, which is also run by Mr. Dimon. Some of us who study the industry and study economics a little bit, we call him Jamie Dimon. That's used by a stock broker person I sometimes follow. He always calls him Jamie Dimon. But are we having trouble? We're getting a message? All right. Okay, we won't talk about that. I know you want to talk about a lot of things, but I would just mention the Federal Reserve. Okay, so I want to go wherever you want to go, Dr. Slattery. But we were starting off to talk, and what we're really talking about today, what I want to get into, is this idea that somehow if you criticize Jews, you're being racist. And I wanted to mention for a moment, for instance, the very famous United Nations resolution statement that was passed overwhelmingly by the General Assembly of the United Nations saying that Zionism was racism, equating Zionism with racism. And Jews threw a fit. Well, we know now for sure, and it's very clear to anybody who studies the question, and we'll start with this question with you as well, that Zionism and Judaism actually and Jewish power is extremely racist. It's about the supremacy of one race overall and putting Jewish interests over what they call the interest of the Gentiles or the Goyim. Goyim in the Jewish vernacular means the nations. And Israel is an ultimately racist country. If any European country had the same laws about separation between Jews and non-Jews, like not marrying Gentiles or the immigration policies, they would be called a Nazi state. The idea, in fact, that criticizing or talking about Judaism, or for that matter, and we make this distinction where a lot of people don't, Judaism is itself as a religion, even though you're trained not to ever criticize a religion, no matter how racist it is, no matter even if it advocates and continually suggests that Jews have the right to genocide other people. That's what Judaism says, that Jews have a special right, even by Maimonides and other authors of the Talmud, to cheat other people, to practice usury against other people, to enslave other people, but you can't enslave fellow Jews. And that Gentiles are not only inferior, but some of the biggest Jewish leaders, including Rabbi Schneerson, who's worshipped basically in the White House, or at least when Jared Kushner and Trump's daughter is there, worshipped. And this guy says that the guy that they worship says that the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew in the world, that's all non-Jews, that's the 99.8% of the world, is not like the difference between, it's like the difference between a person and a cow. It's on the species level. That's how different, in both body and spirit. And Gentiles have evil souls. He really wrote this in his book called Conversations. This is who Jared Kushner and his wife go worship. And Trump himself, I think, has said a few nice things about it. In fact, the Congress ruled that this guy, Rabbi Schneerson, says these things about Gentiles, and he was given the Congressional Medal of Honor when he was telling every member of Congress and their own children were just like evil spirits and were inferior to Jews, and Jews have a right to rule over them. It's really wild that this stuff can go on, but it really does. So we're going to dive into this a little bit.
Well, I'm just going to say, once a year, I'm not sure what day of the year it is, but there is a day that is designated as National Education Day in Rabbi Schneerson's honor.
In Rabbi Schneerson's honor. This is a guy who says the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew is that like between a Jew and a cattle, or a Jew and an animal, any other animal, because that's how much difference there is between us. And he's talking about an intrinsic difference. He's talking about a genealogical difference. He's talking about a genetic difference. And it's shocking. I can read the whole quote a little later if you want to. I'll read it word for word. If people want me to dig it up, I'll be happy to. It's in my book. It's citated. It's easy to find. It's in the book called Conversations on the Person. So I'm going to start with a thing that I've been playing a little bit, but I'm going to play it from the beginning this time, and I'm going to pause it because I think this particular conversation on the Katie Helper Show, it's one of the most important conversations we could ever hear. And it's a conversation that can get to the heart of what we call Jewishness today, of what we can get to the heart of what's Judaism today. We're going to discuss that as well. And the heart of what Israel is today. And by the way, Israel is described as a Jewish state. They use Jewish religious symbols all over their planes, all over their bombs. They put big old stars of David on their bombs. They have kids sign the bombs that go kill Palestinian children. The horror of it, in this sense, or the incredible, scary atmosphere of the racism they teach. They teach that the Palestinians basically are Amalekites, and we know what the Jews are supposed to do by Amalekites. Jews claim that God told Jews to kill Amalekites, and that somehow, if you read Samuel and you read what God did to the Amalekites, what the Israelites did to the Amalekites, every man, woman, child, and suckling baby, the supposition is that this is what Jews should do to Palestinians, and it's exactly what they're doing to Palestinians. Anyway, I wanted to read this. It's not read it. I wanted to share the video with you, which is indeed a very shocking video. And I had it up here on my computer. I hope I can get it back. It's always that way when you have. Go ahead.
Well, while you're getting it, please. I thought I'd just read a little bit about Education and Sharing Day, often referred to as National Education Day, is a day dedicated to honoring the legacy of Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, a prominent Jewish leader and the seventh Rebbe of the Chabad-Lubavitch movement. The day is celebrated on the birthday of Rabbi Schneerson, which falls on the 11th day of Nisan, not to be confused with Toyota, on the Hebrew calendar, typically between March 21st and April 21st of the Gregorian calendar. President Jimmy Carter, of all people, first inaugurated this day on April 18th, 1978, by designating it as Education Day USA in honor of Rabbi Schneerson's birthday. Since then, each U.S. president had proclaimed the anniversary of the Rebbe's birth as a day dedicated to educational awareness. But how aware do they really want us to be? That's my question.
Yeah, the awareness is, could you imagine them honoring anybody who said, oh, that Jews, right, are so different than Gentiles. They're just like, the difference is different than being a different kind of human, but Jews are an entirely different species. And at the same time, they have satanic souls. I mean, it has to be one of the most racist opinions you could possibly imagine. And yet this guy can be honored by the United States Congress, get the Congressional Medal of Honor, when he's telling people, that he's telling these congressmen that they're born totally with satanic souls, and their children are, and they're a different species, an inferior species, an evil species. I mean, it's like something, we often use this term, but it's true. It's hard to believe somebody could even hardly make it up, this is a religious leader, a respected person who they name a holiday after him and tell people how great they are. But he says these things. And that's a good example of everything else they say. I'll give another example. You know, as a young man, I studied a lot in our civics classes about Frederick Douglass. I think most Americans do in school today, both secondary school and in college. And I must say, I've read a couple of the massive treatises of Frederick Douglass, and he made a lot of sense. I really do believe that. He was really a civil rights advocate in terms of free speech. He talked at length about how we have to have free speech on every major issue. That's the only way to truth. It's the only way to freedom. It's the only way to do things. He talked about how freedom of speech is controlled by powerful forces. It's not hard for any person that's super rich, a billionaire, an oligarch today, to express their viewpoints. It's kind of hard for an average person to express their viewpoints. And it's easy for them to suppress viewpoints of viewpoints they don't like. So he was a defender of freedom of speech. And he also was an opponent of slavery. Now, when I first started getting awakened, I was a true Southerner. But even then, I was never taught to laud slavery. In fact, one of my heroes as a young kid was Robert E. Lee. And one of the things that the Confederates and the people of the South that loved Robert E. Lee would say about Lee, which is true, that Robert E. Lee personally opposed slavery, that he realized that slavery had to end. The reason he fought with the South, because these were his kinsmen, his brothers. And he believed that every people had a right to determine their own government and that the North had no right to invade their country, which they did. The South had a right to secede. He didn't agree with slavery. He thought slavery would end. But we honored Lee, and we always talked about that aspect, whether it be in our schools, whether it be publicly. But I realized that slavery was not a very nice institution, not for anybody of any race or any culture. And I had to also admit that there was a racial contingent of the slavery in the United States. Actually, it was more racist in terms of the blacks, and it shows that they wouldn't dare do that to the Native Americans, obviously, enslaved. There might have been cases where there was slavery at some point, but it certainly wasn't the institution that took place in terms of the slave trade. Of course, one of the issues as well is that the slave trade was something that you can historically document and prove with no doubt whatsoever. There's massive evidence. There's the Jewish Publication Society. There's the massive Jewish historians who write about and even boast about the Jewish domination of the triangular slave trade between New England, you know, the Caribbean, and Africa. And how Jews were the primary denominators of the slave trade, not only in the United States, but in the Caribbean and also in South America, which is interesting. But there's no blowback to Jews who ran this slave trade. As I've quoted many, many times from the Encyclopedia Britannica, an article on Jews, on, in fact, it was the main article on Jews in Encyclopedia Britannica, Marcus, actually Jewish, the Jewish historian they used, he talked about how Jews controlled, even in the Middle Ages, the slave trade, or they controlled the economy.
Well, they won't open the door.
What? I'm sorry? You there?
Hello?
Yeah, Dr. Slaver, you heard noises. Okay. Right. So anyway, so it's documented very, very clearly. In fact, the Jew who was commissioned by Encyclopedia Britannica, one of the leading Jewish historians, the leading Jewish historian in the United States, was talking about the role of Jews in the slave trade in the economy of Europe. He said that Jews, you know, had a lot of impact on trade and economy of Europe. And he says, especially the slave trade. And other Jewish writings, you know, talks about the slave trade as something the Jews are proud of. That, you know, Jews dominate the slave trade because that was a different time and a different place and there were different values and so forth then. But Jews praised it. I read Jewish books when I started realizing this. I read this book by a gentleman named Walter White, appropriate acronym, I guess, and name. And he wrote about the fact, and it, the title of the book is Who Brought the Slaves to America? And in there, he referred to historical records, very clear records, as well as Jewish records, of the Jewish, overwhelming Jewish domination of the international slave trade. Not only did they dominate, by the way, in terms of the slaves that were brought to the United States, they also dominated the slave trade of Europeans and what the Crusaders did, the Muslims in North Africa, when they raided the European coastline and kidnapped young European girls and boys. The girls for the harems and basically concubinage and fundamentally prostitution and sexual exploitation and slavery of males as well, who lived under a slave system. And there's much history documentation of this, who lived under unbelievable. They lived in these castles and these fortresses in these dungeons, basically. They're operated by the sultans, for instance, in North Africa. And how that they were chained every night. African Americans were not chained every night in America. I mean, they lived under horrific circumstances. And, you know, thousands and thousands of women were exploited. And the people that were running the slave trade of these Europeans that were being captured by the Muslims, people who ran the slave trade themselves were Jews. And this is not something that's hidden. Another interesting little fact of history, tidbit of history that I learned was of any tribal group or any national group or any heritage of Europe, whether you're talking about English or Germans or Dutch or whoever settled America, there were Dutch, you know, and there were Spanish people here and many others. The interesting thing was there was no group that had a higher percentage of slave ownership per capita than Jews. Really interesting. This is what Jewish historians say, that 40% of all Jewish households in America, South and North, 40% owned slaves. 40% of Jewish households owned slaves. The percentage of Christian households or even white households in the South was never higher than 2%, 3% at max, maybe in some short periods. In the North, it was even far less. But Jewish households, this is what Jewish historians write and say, were 40%. But for some reason, there's no guilt described by Jews because you can't talk about, you know, Jewish racism. You can't talk about what Judaism has been preaching for 2,000 years, which was that Jews were the superior people of the world. And by the way, the Lubavitch Great Rebbe was a perfect representation of that, right? Perfect representation. And that's he's a perfect representation, too, of the Jews that control the state of Israel that are committing this genocide in Gaza. And this genocide, by the way, Jews are orchestrating the genocide, as the great Jeffrey Sachs points out in his great article, the same people that gave us the Ukraine war, the same people gave us the Iraq war. And in both cases, he points out that all the massive supporters of this, these so-called neocons, were all Jewish radicals. Why would the same people who ran our State Department, got us involved in the Iraq war based on lies, got Americans to die for Jewish interests in Israel, and he shows how Israel controlled it and Jewish powers in America controlled that. He named the names, you know, Victoria Nudelman, you know, and Kagans and all the other Jews involved. And he didn't even have to go into the Jewish domination of the media, ABC, NBC, CBS, Comcast, all the rest, internet and everything else that supported and drove these wars on. But to do so, to talk about Jewish ethnocentrism is forbidden. And if you talk about Jewish racism, you're the one that's called the racist. And anti-Semitism is basically defined today. It's not just defined against the Jewish religion at all. It's defined against the Jewish people, in other words, the Jewish race. And for some reason, there's more focus on whatever. They focus on telling everybody that by exposing Jewish racism, even the genocide of what's going on in Gaza and Ukraine, because it is a genocide of the Ukrainians, both Russians and Ukrainians, and also the genocide they committed under communism. And I say the genocide perpetrated in these great wars. To just even discuss that, that's considered racist and hate. And that's the focus. There's more focus on that than the mass murder produced by these wars, like the Iraq war, probably 5 million in Iraq and Afghanistan and so forth, 5 million in innocent people. And you talk about what happened in the First and Second World War, which had definite Jewish influence in the promotion of this war. And the Second World War was the biggest mass slaughter of all time. And I can tell you the driving force behind this war was the Jews who had a lot of influence in banking, like the Rothschilds, and many other areas of influence in media. And they infiltrated governments. The Jews might rise to power in a government, but we know they're raised with their mother's milk about you got to fight for Israel. Every Jew knew practically instinctively with their mother's milk that you had to destroy Germany. We had to have a war. Judea, in fact, in 1934, big headlines in British newspapers owned by Jews saying Judea declares war on Germany. They're going to do everything they can in the world to get into a war with Germany. And we had that war. We had Jews like Theodore Kaufman write books reviewed by the New York Times and the Washington Post saying, not suggesting, but saying that we must exterminate, literally, wipe off the earth, exterminate every German person. We must destroy the Germans and we must break up the country. And I mean, this was in his book, Germany Must Perish. The New York Times said it's a great plan for permanent peace among nations. Now we got to kill all those Germans. This is before the war, before any allegation of any Holocaust. And yet Jews and major American publications owned by Jews were so riled up and were so interested in demonizing Germans that they were actually advocating openly for the genocide of the German people. Like I say, you know, we say it's hard to even, you know, consider this. I mean, it's like we live in a different reality, isn't it? That these things would go on, and yet they're never mentioned. Your thoughts real quick before I go to the video. Please, watch your mute button, maybe. Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know my thoughts on.
You can go anywhere you want, Jewish buddy. I mean, I just want you to. Just what strikes your fancy. Strikes your fancy.
All right. So we had last week Tammy Bruce, who is this. I want to talk about things going on right now because there's a lot going on right now.
Okay, good.
Last week, the Tammy Bruce, the State Department spokeswoman, we mentioned this, said that that America's the greatest country on earth next to Israel. We talked about this.
Except for Israel. That's what she said, yeah.
Yeah, next to Israel. She said next to Israel. And apparently, I want to find some confirmation of this, but Donald Trump was saying that Israel is the greatest country on earth. Now,
I haven't seen that yet. We need to get somebody to think.
I haven't seen it yet either. And I don't want to spread fake news. But what we do know is Donald Trump is now moving to strip naturalized citizens of their citizenship if they are anti-Semitic.
That is unbelievable. It's so dystopian. It's so critically vile and anti-American. It's just amazing. It's shocking even for me, and I know the depravity these people do. You know, they are committing a genocide of thousands of children, but the idea of stripping an American citizenship who is naturalized American because they say a word of criticism against the Jews who are, and for what? For mass in murder the midst of
when,
children.
Yeah, when they're in the midst of a genocide.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make it up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, can you hear me? So yeah, nowadays, there's these AI deep fakes and things. It can be really, really difficult to sometimes figure out what's going on. But, you know, we do have the example of Trump reviewing these, like kicking foreign students out, taking away their student visas, not if they're critical of the United States, but if they're critical of Israel.
Exactly.
We have that. We have the State Department in May postponed or canceled, temporarily canceled all appointments for people applying for new student visas until they could develop an algorithm for checking their social media. Presumably it was Palantir. I don't know for sure that it was Palantir, but presumably it's Palantir because that's what Palantir does. And so now they've got an algorithm where they can check people's social media and deny. And if their social media is critical of Israel, then they don't come in. We had a case of somebody who was just trying to come into the United States as a tourist or something, and he had a meme of J.D. Vance on his phone. I don't know, maybe it was a funny meme, but apparently he got refused. A lot of people are getting refused now, but it's not based. I shouldn't have even brought up the J.D. Vance thing because that weakens my argument, but it was funny. But the it's not based on people even being anti-American. It's based on people being anti-Israeli. It's all about protecting the Jews. And this, you know, if I was another country, if I was a so-called U.S. ally in Europe or Asia or somewhere, I'd look at this and say, what the hell's going on with America? This is sick. When you've got a political system that is openly promoting the interests of this little country that is a rogue state that's
a nuclear rogue state too, by the way. And all the discussion about Iranian bomb. Wait, one second. I want to jump in for a second here. All the discussion about Iran might develop nuclear weapons. Israel already did that illegally, even by stealing enriching uranium from America, committing treason against the United States of America, for which they were never prosecuted. But the evidence is overwhelming. Seymour Hersh and many other people have exposed this. This is a fact. right? And Israel's developing nuclear weapons. They don't join the NPT. Iran joins, allows inspections. Israel has no inspections. But this is never brought up by our Jewish-dominated media. I just had to throw that in there for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so this is what you've got. And it's not only is it that our policy is geared towards protecting Israel, but then you also look at what has the leadership of the country been doing under Jewish domination? It's not just protecting Israel; it's replacing Americans with random foreigners. You know, so like the thing is, it's become so obvious that we do have now. We've got tons of people who are waking up and noticing. A lot of these people are people who were maybe left-wing radicals, and they're not just because they see they notice that the American government is beholden to Israel doesn't mean all of a sudden we can expect them to be pro-white and call for, you know, a white ethnostate, especially seeing as so many of them aren't white.
We're not even demanding that. We're just demanding equal rights for our own people our existence. We have a right to continue our existence in the continent and the nation we founded. That's all.
Yeah, but, you know, there are some people
just like the Palestinians should, right? Go ahead.
There are some people out there who will say, oh, well, you know, if these students or naturalized citizens get kicked out of America, well, that's good. It just sets a good example because, you know, that's an example that we can use, a precedent we can use to kick out all of the, you know, or they had it coming because they don't like
the Jewish mediators who say that, by the way. That's who's doing it, who are infected by it, right?
You hear that. But you know, there is this, as far as I'm concerned, anybody who is waking up to even, you know, you don't wake up to all aspects of Jewish power all of a sudden. It's too much. It's too much for anybody to handle. You wake up in pieces. And people who are, you know, they're progressive, anti-war people or whatever, it's easier for them to wake up to Israel first. And that's how that was my route. And then when you start understanding the Jewish power structure's role in promoting Israeli interests and you start focusing on Jewish power, then all of a sudden you start to see some of the other things that they're doing. And that was, you know, and it can take a long time. It probably took me 40 years from the time, almost 40 years from the time I realized that Jews had this outsized influence in foreign policy until I realized that Jews were trying to replace white people in their own countries. It takes a while.
Yes. Let me wrap a little bow around this gift of enlightenment, of what you were just sharing. Let me wrap a bow around it and put this in a nice package for people to understand. It's like they know that Israel is not simply an apartheid state. It's a state based on genocide, ethnic cleansing, mass murder, torture, not just 300 hostages or 200 hostages by Gazans to fight back from Gaza, right, during October 7, but thousands and thousands and thousands of Palestinians have been kidnapped from their homes and their families, tortured, even raped. Even Faith Save the Children said that a great percentage of Palestinian children are raped and molested by these Jews. I mean, it's unbelievable. We have the chief rabbi, and what to wrap the bow around it, you know, this enlightenment is, how can even the left or the right not realize that the reason why these Jewish racist crimes against the Palestinians and murderous crimes and genocidal mass murder, it's not apartheid. This is not apartheid. It's genocide. Not apartheid. It's genocide. So let me play this tape because it kind of illustrates that point. Now, this is a Jewish guy. I really like him. I think he's a little bit he's kind of not wakened up to the fact that maybe this is the core of Judaism itself yet. But it's a hard thing for someone to admit. But he does admit that these Jews are lunatics of genocide right now. And yet he doesn't seem to want to recognize the fact that they're not saying much different than how these Jewish messianic weird Jews are taking what they call the Bible and the Talmud and using it to justify the genocide against the Palestinians. And this is not something that's different from what Judaism is. Christ rejected Judaism. And that's one reason why they rejected him. He taught, love thy neighbor, truly love thy neighbor. And neighbors weren't just fellow Jews, but all people. Let's listen to this thing that he said in the Katie Helper show. And this is so powerful. I hope we listen to it many times, everyone does, so they understand this and shares it with their friends and neighbors and family and so forth. Here we go.
Militarily, financially, diplomatically, politically, socially, culturally, they support the destruction of international law. They support the destruction of humanity. Yeah, this is a test that humanity has failed. And
he's saying that Jews are supporting the destruction of humanity. And I believe that's exactly the truth. That's the quickest comment I'm going to make right now. And in every way they do. They've been the biggest warmongers. They've been the ones behind the biggest and most horrible wars. And when we talk about Israel, and you're right about how that it's not in the interest of Americans, they lied us into the Iraq wars, as Jeffrey Sachs says. They and as Haaretz says, and Jews say, the media, Jewish media, lied us into that war. That caused the death of 7,000 Americans. That's more. That's double more than 9/11. That's more than Pearl Harbor. That's 9/11 and Pearl Harbor combined. They led us into a war based on lies. They caused the death of those people and tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands damaged from that war. And the marriage is destroyed and the lives destroyed by that war. And maybe 5 million people. I mean, the death and destruction is amazing. You know, Madeleine Albright saying how much she thought it was very worth it and very good that we killed 500,000 Iraqi children earlier and just the sanctions. Made them die in their own fluids and the diseases they got, the malnutrition they got. This is the ultimate racism. Let's continue on.
This is the one test that humanity cannot fail if it wants to survive.
Boy, that is so true. And I say that when you think about these same Jews who are controlling Google, who are controlling AI, who are controlling robotics, who are controlling the idea of drones, who are controlling the following around and the spying on every citizen through their phones and tracking them, and then being able to influence elections, as proven by Robert Epstein, another Jewish psychologist or Jewish hero who talked before Congress and said they affected millions of votes, even in the Hinton camp, Hillary Clinton campaign. So they're affecting campaigns all over the world. In fact, they even brag about it. There's many videos on this about how they're being contracted all over the world and they're affecting elections all over the world. And they control 3/4 of the search engines for the whole planet. And they control Wikipedia. It's just it's beyond human belief. This is the greatest single threat to world peace, to the health of the world, to the freedom of the world, and the future of all humanity. They are enemies of all human beings, just as they say all humans basically are fundamentally anti-Semitic, born that way. And I can show that and prove that in major Jewish publications and major Jewish arguments. Let's continue.
This is the first thing. The second thing is, even if you want to compare it to other genocide, let's take the worst genocide that we can think of, like the Jewish genocide by the Nazis. Well, a lot of those things were not done by the Nazis. They didn't do song and dance about people that they killed, not just because the technology did not exist. They tried to hide the genocide. And these people are proud. They're proud. You know, they're sending their wife a birthday message by destroying a hospital or a university or a whole block of flats with people in it.
Hey, honey, happy anniversary. Oh, my hey. Daughter, happy birthday. I just killed a bunch of Palestinian kids for you.
Hey, happy birthday, Dr. Duke. And got some birthday wishes from our friend Paul Stevenson, too.
Oh, so, good. Thank you, Paul. It's a day late. I want to have Paul on soon. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, it's like, I mean, folks, you got to start absorbing this stuff, right? And let's continue on. I mean, this is so amazing. And by the way, he said the Nazis would even think about saying we've got to kill the babies. And when these Jews, when I say that the Jews are the real Nazi threat to the world, they're not like the German National Socialists were. German National Socialists were fundamentally German nationalists, Christians overwhelmingly. And they of course, they wouldn't say we're going to kill all the German babies, because they taught an ethic for their own people that killing babies is wrong under any circumstances. You don't go kill innocent babies and their mothers. The Allies adopted the campaigns where they knowingly said that they're going to destroy the German civilians and burn down the cities of Germany and let mothers with their children in their cribs next to them in their apartments in these German cities, which are very flammable, drop flammable weapons which created firestorms, which mothers and children were burned alive by the hundreds of thousands by the Allies in a war that should have never happened. This is what we've got to start talking about, folks. And one more thing. When we say that, when he says, yeah, even the Germans wouldn't have done that, they would never brag about it. And he's talking about how Jews do brag about it. But Jews are basically saying that they want to be as they portray the Nazis. And the way that Nazis are portrayed in every Hollywood movie, and by the way, 99% of Hollywood movies are not just truthful documentaries. It's not like a truthful thing, just getting everything right. It's propaganda for the Jewish agenda and for supporting of Jews. So the way they do the movies and everything is by writing a script that makes people despise National Socialism. It creates the most bad, evil image of them. Yet Jews are exceeding that. Right now in Gaza, and right now, and they have been doing for these wars, and what communism did, they've been exceeding anything that they alleged to be done by Hitler. It's wild. Here we go.
Just, as a historian, I know that throughout the Second World War, the hospital, the Jewish hospital in Berlin, continued to operate for 6 years through the war for the 3,000 Jews that remained in Berlin. Nobody bombed the hospital. Nobody took the doctors and raped them.
Let's stop right there. Do you realize that what he said right there is absolutely true? We know the evidence is all over the place that Jews have been engaged in mass rape of Palestinian men, including doctors and medical practitioners who were helping the Palestinian people in the hospitals of Gaza. Raped them. They had a doctor who was sent to one of the biggest hospitals, raped to death. You can't get to the level of brutality and evil and horror that these Jews are doing. And this is being expressed greatly by this Jewish scholar. Any quick thought, doctor, before we go on?
Everything is so over the top that it's really overwhelming people's ability to comprehend. That's so true. I'll say.
Let's keep going.
Some kind of measure of punishment for what? For being a doctor? What people are not...
People who are devoting themselves, risking their life, going into Gaza to help innocent children who have their arms blown off, their legs blown off, their genitals blown off, massive scar, massive pain. They can't even get antibiotics because the Jews prevent everything. They're starving these people to death. They're dying by the hundreds of thousands. That's real mental. And yet all this is ignored by the international media. And why? Because the media is controlled. The same media that told us that Biden's laptop wasn't real. You know, it wasn't real. That was Russian disinformation. No, it wasn't Russian disinformation. Jewish information, because Jews have hated Russians for a long, long time. And they know it.
No Nazi or other genocide actually went to the public and said, what we're doing is right, support us. The population, the other populations in the other genocide, were not part of it. And in some cases, arguably, they say that they didn't know it, like the Germans. Of course, it's a difficult argument. But here, the whole nation is, in a sense, voting democratically for genocide. This has not happened before. So all these things are making it really difficult to talk about it in comparative terms, because you can't compare it. Where was there a genocide that was, using 2,000-pound bombs on schools and hospitals? The bombs existed before, but nobody thought of doing that. We now, where was there a genocide?
Well, let me say, there was a genocide. You know where it was? Doctor, you know where it was. It was against the Germans. They bombed the cities and burned alive people in these beautiful cities of Germany intentionally. It was part of the official policy of the Allies during the Second World War, the supposed good side, right, in the war. Correct?
Yeah. Anglin had a recent article, which is common sense, but just saying that if you look at all the lies that came out of the October 7th that have been completely debunked, the 40 beheaded babies, sticking children into ovens, the mass rapes, everything completely debunked, never happened. And yet why would people then want to believe everything that was told about World War II? Why should we believe all of that? Think that they were always telling the truth up until maybe 1948 with the establishment
of
Israel.
That's a good way to end it. We're out of time, but you're right. Oh, they're lying today every day out of the New York Times and out of the Washington Post and out of the mainstream media and to these major controlled politicians all over the world. But they didn't tell us any lies about the biggest enemy Jews ever had was Hitler and Germans. No lies about them, right? No lies about the origin of that war. They lied to us about the origin of the Iraq war. They lied to us about the origin of the Ukraine war. They lied to us about every damn thing. But for some reason, we got to take everything they said about the Second World War, the greatest slaughter of humanity in its history, over all things, and then we're supposed to believe everything they tell us. Well, we've got to start waking up, folks. That's it, folks. Doctor, thanks for being with me. Please, people, support our effort, davidduke.com and Gab at Real David Duke. And just go to us, support us, and we love you. That's it. Bye-bye.